Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night, people are losing their jobs. We have football games to pick. People recovering from hurricanes. It's what I like to call a good day, my friend. A good day.
Okay.
All right, Real Sports Talk Radio back live on the air after, I guess, a little week vacation, a week off. Randy Zelia, Jose Padilla. Jose, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm good, dude. I'm good. How's everything going?
It's good to be back. It's good to be back on the air. You can reach us 760-283-0846 on this little impromptu hour of sports talk. Courtesy of FaxSportsPage.com and Real Sports Talk Radio. I think we should let the people of Facebook know where we are, Jose. Do you want to take care of that? You want me to take care of it? Let Facebook know that we're alive and well and here and live right now.
Well, you can if you have access right now, because I'm just chillaxing in my bed watching basketball, and yeah, life is good. No computer right now.
I was going to say, can you imagine, isn't it a great world when you hit your bed and be on the on the radio and just be at home? Isn't that great?
I guess. There are worse things in the world.
There are worse things in the world. I agree.
By the way, before you go, I have to let you know, a buddy of mine, I won't tell you who now, but a buddy of mine forked over big-time money for WrestleMania tickets, by the way.
Oh, good for them. WrestleMania tickets go on sale. Not that we're like, they're not paying us to promote the online ticket sales. So, yeah, I have no interest in there saying, you know, call your local box offices now to do it. You know, we'll be there. You and I will be there.
Are we?
You know, yeah, we're. You seem shocked by this.
I was not aware of this.
Yeah, well, I'll be there. I don't know if you're going to be there, you know, watching, working. I don't know what you're going to be doing, but, you know, you'll be there.
Well, if you're going to take me, let me know. I have to let the wife know.
Well, listen, we'll get you there. I think, listen, my attitude about this, and, you know, maybe we'll go a little further into this tonight, too. We'll have some fun. I think it's important that you people make, like, a bucket list of things that they want to do. I know we had the bucket list show, I think, last month, and we were discussing what people would want to do on the bucket list. You know, one of the things on my bucket list has always been to go to WrestleMania. I've been a wrestling fan for the longest times, and I think that I personally would love to see WrestleMania live. And I think this is, you know, obviously since it's right here, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a great thing to see. The fact that it's at MetLife, I won't hold it against anybody, but still.
Well, by the way, you know, before we go on, too, one more thing, and I like to give props to due, and even though sometimes I think these guys get too much credit, when credit is due, I have to give it. And Randy knows it pains me to say this, but I actually do want to give a big shout out to Mike Francesa over at WFAN, who has done an incredible job of really lighting the fire over the people who are handling the lighting and the tree cutting situation over in New York. As you know, with Hurricane Sandy came over this past week, tragic situation, and you know, you can deal without having power for a day or so, but when it goes past 7 days to 10 days, you know, you got to do something about it. And I want to just give him a big shout out, because I think he's done a really credible job of really putting a flame to these people who are in charge, who are not really doing what they can for the people of, you know, New York. So I just want to give him a big shout out, because I think he's done for a change, he's used his big mouth to actually do good instead of causing issues. So I just want to give a big shout out there.
I'll tell you say so.
Hey, fair is fair. When you know when you do good and you know you show sympathy, I can be the kind-hearted hater that you only see, but these guys really hear about.
Oh, yeah, well, because trust me, we do know that you are a hater. And with all due respect. With that being said, let's move a little forward here. Let's move over into the realm of sport. Let's have some fun. Let's do this the right way. And there's so many places to go right now, sports-wise. We can talk about the fact the NHL has been meeting for the last 3 days and move forward on that aspect of it. We can talk about the fact that Major League Baseball winter meetings have started, and Josh Hamilton just got a huge extension with the Rangers. We can go there. Or we can talk about the Lakers making a, I don't want to say a knee-jerk reaction move. I don't think this is. I think this move stems back from last year. And Jose, I think you can attest to this. Because I remember you and I spoke on the phone briefly about when this decision was made. When they brought in Mike Brown to start, they didn't even consult Kobe Bryant. And they sort of just, it was one of those shake-your-head decisions. And it was like, all right, you know, we're bringing in Mike Brown, the coach that didn't help LeBron James win a championship.
Ooh, you're a little harsh there. That's a little harsh.
He had been the coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James as their star player for a couple of years, and they couldn't get over that hump and get back to the NBA Finals. Remember, he wasn't the head coach of the Cavaliers when they made the finals the first time.
Yes, but listen, let me just say this. I've always said this. Coaches get too much credit when the team wins, and they get too much of the blame when the team loses. We all know how this works, Randy. Come on. We know how this is. Players play, players win, players lose. There's only so much a coach in any sport can really do. With the rare exceptions of Bill Belichick, Phil Jackson, and for you hockey novice, Scottie Bowman. To me, you're right in the aspect that this was a knee-jerk reaction. That it was way too early to make a decision like this. Tony Kornheiser, actually, of ESPN, had the over-under at Christmas, so he definitely got this right. But I would say this was not a player issue. I think this was an issue where I think Mitch Kupchak, and I'm saying his name wrong because I'm a little cold, so I can't say it, but the Lakers GM, Mitch Kupchak, I think decided that he just needed to make a change for the sake of making a change. Maybe with the thoughts of, I got to think about keeping Dwight Howard long term. I still got to keep Kobe happy, which that's another situation entirely. And, I got Steve Nash here too. So I think he overreacted. I don't think the players really care because, again, players play and coaches coach. So I just think this is an overreaction on his part.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't think this was a good fit last year. Okay? And I said that to you. I just didn't understand this coaching move. I don't know. I think the coaching wasn't the issue on this team. Last year I felt there were some bad decisions made. But this year, this team, you have a bunch of personalities on these teams that don't work. Steve Nash's game doesn't mix with Kobe Bryant's game, which doesn't mix with Dwight Howard's game, which doesn't mix with Pau Gasol's game, which doesn't mix with Ron Artest's game. It's five different personalities and trying to make them blend.
Yeah, I don't know. You say that. I don't necessarily believe that. Listen, these are all guys who are either close to being Hall of Fame players or players that will be Hall of Fame players. I'm not necessarily buying that. I understand that there is a method to that madness of there needs to be cohesion, but these are not like young guys that you're putting together that are talented. These are guys that are vets. They've been around the block. They know what they're doing. I'm not necessarily buying that. I can't, because if that's really the case, then everything the Lakers have done to this point is completely idiotic.
It just doesn't seem like this was the right fit from the start. Remember, they were calling for his head last year. They were. You remember.
Yeah, well, they didn't like him. It was a bad – you're right. It was a bad decision on their part to get this guy. I honestly think they got him in only because they felt because he had the experience of working with LeBron that he could handle working with a star player like Kobe. Obviously, they were dead wrong. No, look, we both said this. We didn't think it was a great hire. But at the same time, again, I'm not one of those guys that wants to poo-poo any move until I actually see it for a couple of years. We only saw it for a year in the game. Really, when you think about it, it's insane to make kind of move this early.
Would you like me to break it down for you? You want me, as they say in the street, keep it real for everybody? Okay.
I don't know if you can keep it real though.
Listen, don't be a hater, okay? I'm as jive as everybody else out there, okay?
Oh my God, you just said jive.
Okay. First off,
keep it real for us novices. What's the real?
Okay, I'm keeping it real. I'm being quite gangster when I say it. That's even I felt that was wrong. I'm gonna be real. No, with all joking aside, I'm gonna be really honest about the whole situation. I think that Steve Nash is not the right fit for this team. He's not the right point guard for this team. This is not what we like to call a run and gun team like he had with the Phoenix Suns for the last couple of years. I really do feel at the end of the day, Steve Nash, to be effective, has to have the ball in his hand a good 65-70% of the time and be able to create and get other people involved his own way. He's not a spot-up shooter. He is not a guy who does a good job of moving without the ball. That's Steve Nash. Steve Nash is a guy who needs to have the ball in his hand. Just like the two guard on that team, Kobe Bryant, to be effective, needs to have the ball in his hand. Because Kobe likes to have a lot of isolation plays, gives him the opportunity to create. Not if he can't get his shot with about 5 seconds left on the shot clock, Kobe finds a way to find somebody else and get them the ball. Nash and Kobe are not a good fit together. I thought that was not the point guard idea that I probably would have had for them. I don't know exactly at that point, who you bring in there. But Nash is a guy who needs to be the focal point of the offense of getting other people involved. So disagree?
I'm not buying that totally, but I'll let you finish. I'm not necessarily buying that totally, though.
Okay, well, the other part of that is, I don't think much of it is Dwight Howard because, Kobe's played with a big man before. You know what I mean? Kobe does his own thing. Kobe's played with Andrew Bynum. He's played with Shaq. So playing with Dwight Howard is not something that's totally different for him. So, that's my feeling on the Dwight Howard situation. Gasol. Let's put it this way. I had a long interview. I had a 35-minute interview last night, don't laugh at me, with Brian Scalabrine. Okay? And Brian and I talk a lot of – what?
I'm not chuckling.
Okay. Brian and I had a long talk. We were discussing, different types of basketball and the way things are and the way, pick and pops and pick and rolls and the way the games are played. And – he said you need to have a good balance of pick and roll because a good 75% of the NBA offense is done off of pick and roll. You need to have a pick and pop and a pick and roll guy. So, the Lakers have a guy who can roll to the basket in Dwight Howard, and they have another guy who can pick and pop out like Pau Gasol. Because Pau Gasol is not a guy who's going to be banging bodies all season. He's a guy who's going to give you about 15 to 20 of his points outside the paint. So, with that being said, you need to have that. I don't think the Lakers – you've been yelling at me for the last few weeks about this, but I think the Lakers are one of those teams where they don't need to have a high-profile point guard to be successful. If they have Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant, it works.
I'm not arguing with that. That's not what I'm arguing. What I'm saying, though, is that I think you put a little too much into the fact that these guys can't necessarily mesh well. I'm not buying that yet because, not for nothing, hasn't Nash only played two games with the Lakers to to start his career. So we're basing this on two games.
Well, but they also played quite a few games together during the preseason as well, and it didn't match.
Their preseason. What do you take out of preseason?
It's a warm-up.
I'll never take anything out of preseason. I'll tell you that right now. If you can tell me all you want, preseason. I will never, ever take anything seriously on preseason. I mean, unless someone gets hurt, that's the only thing you take serious. Other than that, I don't take stats. I don't take how someone plays in preseason. It doesn't mean anything. The guy that the rookie that gets undrafted that averages 30 points a game in preseason doesn't even see the floor for the first 10 games of the regular season.
I understand that too, and I think you know right now with the Lakers, it's going to be a wait and see. You know, the other thing that Brian said too, which was very interesting last night, he said. So the first 25 games, teams figure out who they are, and then after they figure out who they are, they work on perfecting what they are. You're not going to change. The team's not going to change too much. 25. The last 10, 15 games of the season, they're not going to change who they are, as far as what they do and their strategy. It's just not going to happen.
I could tell you this, though, real fast. I can pretty much point to the fact why they might have made this firing, though. Because and I will count the preseason in this for the games played. Last 15 games they played, the Lakers, they're 1-15. Excuse me, 1-14. So I think that might have played more initial than anything else. Plus, I think the fact that Mike Brown did kind of lose control of that team toward, you know, obviously we all saw what happened last year in that playoff run. Probably part of the reason why Andrew Bynum is no longer on the team to begin
with. Yeah, and not only that, but Dwight Howard has been nothing but smiles since he got there. You know, you start looking at the possible coaching candidates to bring to take over that spot. Could be very, very, very interesting to see who takes that job.
Who do you think is going to take that job when push comes to shove? I got a Mac 10 to your head. Who's taking that job? Who would you want taking that job, I should say?
I'm running the Lakers right now. If I'm running the Lakers, first off, I'm on a beach in Bermuda. seriously, I personally would like to have Phil Jackson back. There's something about Phil that would probably find a common balance for everybody. That's the honest truth. I think he really would be the best man for the job. The candidates, there's been confirmation that the Lakers have reached out to Phil. There's more confirmation they reached out to Mike D'Antoni. The only person they haven't really talked to has been Brian Shaw.
Well, he's coaching in Indiana right now, so.
He's an assistant coach with Indiana. There's been no conversations of trying to get permission to talk to him.
Well, so. I think we all know that was part of the problem, that they did not have him. He wasn't the guy that took over for Phil. I think considering, again, depends what you want to do. I think if you make this move with the future in mind, I would personally pick D'Antoni only because he got Steve Nash there. And I think with Steve Nash, if you got him going, I think everyone else would all fall into place. But I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't have a guy I can think of offhand. Part of the problem with this team is that this team is really old, and you gotta appease Kobe, but at the same time you gotta appease Dwight Howard. I don't know if these two things are possible. You would definitely be more in the know on that. I don't know if these are things that could even possibly happen. You know.
I think you can't bring in either Van Gundy in this situation.
You know, his name, Jeff's name was brought up, actually.
Jeff's name was brought up a little bit, but I also do know that there are problems with bringing in Van Gundy.
Would you bring in one of those guys if it was you? Just you. I'm not.
If it was up to me, I would bring in Jeff, not Stan. I definitely would bring Jeff in because I think Jeff Jeff brings a demand and a respect level that you have to have for playing for him. If it was really up to me, like again, because you have a Steve Nash, a Dwight Howard, and that type of situation in those roles, I personally would love to have Phil back, because Phil can manage. Phil can manage talent, and Phil can manage egos.
I think the problem is that this firing was done so early, it probably caught everyone off guard. Let me ask you this, though. I'm just going to throw this out there. Not this year, because it's, you know, obviously college basketball started. Do you think they try to take a shot at Mike Krzyzewski?
They can't. I don't think they will. I think Mike has said in many media reports in the past that if he didn't take it the last time, he's not taking it anymore. He feels that he's done. He doesn't really want to go anywhere. And I don't blame him, because, look, he's got a nice deal going on at Duke. All he's got to do is just hang out there, and he's the man. He can write his own check. He can leave when he wants to. If I were Krzyzewski, I wouldn't go near.
There's two guys I would say, if the Lakers are going to go that route, and obviously it would be for next year in the future, for next year, obviously, if you're going to go the college basketball route. There's two guys that I like. Unfortunately, and I am so mad at myself because I can't think of the gentleman guy's name. The kid that's coaching Butler right now would probably be a real reach. But I think, and I want to say, last name is Drew, but I could be completely wrong on that. I feel bad that I can't remember his name right now. We'll have to put that on Facebook. But he's someone I think that, you know, you probably could get on the cheap, but would probably be a good coach. The other guy I like is the guy from VCU, Shaka Smart. That guy would probably be someone that would intrigue me. Both guys may not be ready for a big-time pro job, but those are two guys maybe in the right situation, particularly with this Laker team, may not be such a bad idea for, like, next season. But you know how these college coaches are. They come to the pros and they flame out. But two intriguing characters, if you ask me.
I agree. Both guys, you know, I think those would be very, very interesting candidates. Again, you know, I think this time around Mitch is going to talk with all the guys and say, listen, what are we looking for here? You know, I think at this point you're probably going to see Phil back. I think you'll see Phil before D'Antoni. Even though Kobe likes D'Antoni, Nash likes D'Antoni. I think, you know, Dwight has already said he likes Phil.
Do you think they would keep Bernie Bickerstaff, who's the interim right now, or is it really just on an interim basis?
No, Bernie had a good run when he was coaching the Nuggets back in the 90s. But I don't see Bernie being that. You know, I don't see Bernie being that guy. You know, he'll coach tonight. I don't know. I just there's something about the whole situation that just seems very weird. Like you just said, you're 1-4. You didn't have Kobe for majority of the preseason. You didn't have everybody. Now you have Nash hurt. I think this is one of those things where this could have been a player push move, where a lot of players, in fact, it's been all over Twitter that players have said that, you know, they were not a fan of Mike Brown. In fact, I'll pull some of this stuff up. And one of the coaching candidates that was stated was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which I think would be very interesting.
I don't know if they go through that again. I think they already did that and it didn't work out all that well. What about Patrick Ewing? Would he be in the mix for this?
No.
No.
Here's some of what people said on Twitter. Josh Robbins, who covers the Orlando Magic, I can't envision a circumstance in which Lakers would call Stan Van Gundy despite his qualifications. I agree with that, and that's a guy who covered that whole situation last year.
Well, Stan Van Gundy that would never happen. You know what? Now that I think about it, and I was having a brain fart. You're absolutely right. Neither Van Gundy would make sense after the whole Dwight Howard fiasco. It just occurred to me. Like, wait a minute, that's exactly what happened. So you got to excuse me, because now I'm starting to realize why my head is
And you know Jeff was very defending of his brother. So that's why I stated what I stated. You know, you can't do that. You can't bring in either Van Gundy with Dwight Howard there. Here's some other notes. Jalen Rose says if the Lakers don't hire Phil Jackson or Brian Shaw, I think Nate McMillan would be the best choice.
You like that? That's not a bad move. That's not a bad pickup.
I think it's an interesting move. We actually have a call on the line. Let's see. Real Sports Talk Radio. You are with Randy Jose. How are you?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Good. I was hearing you guys talk about the Mike Brown thing. I don't think it's Mike Brown. I think it's the player's fault.
You think it's the player's fault? Why? Okay, why?
I just think they don't know how to work together. You got three superstars, two of them that which are banged up. I don't think it's Mike Brown's fault. I say if they were going to fire him, get a chance.
Well, okay, well, in this situation, you know, do you think it's a Dwight Howard situation, a Kobe Bryant situation, a Steve Nash situation? You know, which, you know, what do you think this situation was? By the way, I'm sorry, what is your name? I'm sorry.
Chris.
Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, Chris.
I think it's all the players' situation. You can't run the ball through Paul Gasol. You got a banged up Dwight Howard with his back. I mean, Steve Nash is out with the fractured foot, whatever he has. I think it was the players' fault. They just don't know how to play together. Too many superstars on one team.
Who would you bring in, Chris?
I don't know who would bring in. Someone that can run the defense and the offense. Maybe Phil Jackson again.
Okay, so I think they're definitely going to look at Phil. The sources that we got told
was...
I'm not so sure that's
something that's going to happen. I know everyone thinks that that's a sure thing. I'm not so sure that Phil Jackson wants to or is ready to come back at this point.
I think Phil
is one of those guys, you know, if his heart's not in it, he's not going to go with it. It's a tough decision that Mitch Kupchak and Jerry Butts are going to have to make. I think the toughest one was letting go of the coach. Now they have to move forward. Chris, thanks for calling in, buddy. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You know, Randy, I gotta say, you know, with this whole Phil Jackson thing, let's be honest, too. Phil Jackson's not going to come out of retirement if he doesn't think he has a legitimate shot of winning a title. So, I mean, I don't think this team has a legitimate shot of winning a title this year anyway. So, why would Phil Jackson want to come back to that? I mean, you know, he's a title chaser. I mean, he's got all these rings, but... He seems to be the kind of guy that's only in all in if he feels he can accomplish something, which I don't know if with this team as it is right now, if it is a viable option to win a championship.
Well, here's some more reactions on Twitter from like Chris Thomason. Derek Haven doesn't see Phil Jackson Lakers return to Mike Brown, and he also felt that Mike Brown didn't command respect. I think that's
the bigger issue.
Mark Stein's reporting that Lakers staff has only committed to a couple games. Process should move quickly. Sources close to the situation say Phil Jackson and D'Antoni are the neck and neck for the Lakers job. Lakers are expected to reach out to Phil Jackson as soon as Saturday. Jim Clemens and Kurt Rambis, longtime Phil Jackson aides, are ready to rejoin Jackson on the bench should he return to the Lakers. And also Gary Payton doesn't think former teammate coach Nate McMillan should pursue Lakers job because it is a no-win situation. I agree with that. I do agree with that topic.
You know what? I'm not going to argue any of those points against that. My thought, again, though, is I'm not sure that Mike Brown deserves to get fired, but that's a separate issue from all the other stuff. I do agree, though, with what was said. I don't think Mike Brown had the respect of those players. I think that's a given. But not having the respect and, you know, and everything else is kind of separate issues to me.
Real
I don't, I don't think this was a player firing, you know, to say. I think this was a an ownership and a front office issue, but it's weird. Either way, it's weird.
Here's the last piece of news on this, and we're going to last piece of note on this. Adrian Wojnarowski from Woj Yahoo NBA, well, probably one of the best basketball writers in the country, just tweeted a few minutes ago, Indiana considers Brian Shaw as an important asset and wouldn't simply let him walk in session to the Lakers. So there's a no contact with him. You know, he's okay. One of those guys who's considered for the job before Mike Brown got it. So, you know, it's really a touchy subject in that aspect of it. But, you know, there's a lot of things we can keep an eye out. Phil Jackson open to an NBA return. You know, we'll see what happens. Real quick, let's go over scoreboard real quick. The Brooklyn Nets over the Orlando Magic, 107-68. Milwaukee over the Washington Wizards, 101-91. In the fourth quarter right now, 17 seconds left. Philly leads Boston, 106-100. In the fourth quarter, New York leads Dallas, 98-86. The Miami Heat just went final, 95-89 over the Atlanta Hawks. Right now in Memphis, a tight one going on between the Grizzlies and the Rockets, 79-75 with 7:33 left in the fourth. New Orleans and Charlotte dangling up down in New Orleans, 85-74. The Thunder hosting the Pistons after last night's win against Chicago, and they're up on Charlotte. I'm sorry, they're up on Detroit, 84-76. Minnesota hosting Indiana, 78-73. Man, losing Granger is such a loss for them. And Phoenix hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it's Cleveland 58, Phoenix 39. Late games tonight, San Antonio, Sacramento, Utah, and Denver, and the Lakers hosting the Golden State Warriors. So those are the things.
I was going to say, I don't know if you're watching any of this Knicks game right now, but it's getting very chippy. Just want to just throw that out. There might be some blows coming in after this game.
Yeah, I do. I agree with you. And ESPN's not doing their Friday night NBA coverage yet. They're holding off until college football is pretty much over. Mm-hmm. You know, and one quick note. You know, you and I were discussing off-air this morning. And by the way, if you want to join in anything that we're talking about tonight, 760-283-0846. You can find us on Facebook at Real Sports Talk and also Back Sports Page on Facebook. And Jose's on Twitter, AngryJose15, and I'm RZeliaBSB. Find us on Facebook. You can yell at us. And on Twitter, you can yell at us. One quick note we were discussing earlier was about Brooklyn. They're a team that's built for the regular season. You and I had this discussion this week. They are a regular season team. This team does not have the playoff experience together. Lopez has not made the playoffs in all of his years in the NBA. Humphries has been a bench guy. Joe Johnson has come up very small in the playoffs. If you remember the couple of years with Atlanta, there were times where he was a decoy and Jamal Crawford was scoring points. And Darren Williams has had some success with Utah. Otherwise, there's not a lot of guys on that team that really have a lot of playoff success. You know, and Brian Scalabrine stated yesterday that you need to have one or two guys on that team that has the experience that can help give advice and how some of these guys can handle playing in those practice fights.
I would say this, though. When you say built for the regular season, I'm wondering in what capacity. I mean, let's be frank about this. With the exception of the Jason Kidd era, when have the Nets ever had success?
It's a fair point. And, you know, they had a couple seasons in the 90s where the team had success, made the playoffs, but was ragged by injuries. The 2 years when Petrovic was there in 92 and 93, they made playoffs, and they were supposedly a team on the rise. In 93, they were decimated with injuries. That was the year that Sam Bowie got hurt, Petro got hurt, Kenny Anderson went down. They had no centers at any point. You know, up until when Kenny Anderson went down, they were third in the conference. You know, but then the curse of John Starks came around. So, you know, with that being said,
I'm
the year after Petro passed away, the Nets made the playoffs again in 94, played the Knicks in the first round, and lost 3-1.
I remember that series very well, actually. I was actually I was at both the games at Madison Square Garden.
And then after that, the Nets didn't see the playoffs again until 98, where they happened to run into a guy in Chicago who wore number 23, and we all know how that worked out. And then they didn't make the playoffs again for another 3-4 years. You know, when the 2002 playoffs was the first time they were back, and you know Indiana took them 5 games. They beat Charlotte 4-1. And then they beat Celtics in 6, and they lost to the Lakers in 4. So, you know, that was a nice run. The following year when they went to the finals, that was a nice run, too. And they even lost the second round against Detroit. And, you know, there's times that teams will lose in the second round. I don't know if that team would have stayed together if they ever would have had the success they'd once had. You know, I felt the one thing that Nets team was, both Nets teams were missing was a closer. I didn't look at Jason Kidd as a closer. I looked at a guy, he's a good point guard who can distribute the ball, but with 3 or 4 seconds left on the clock, who's taking that final shot? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. One of the biggest thing for me with the Nets, one that to me was a bad break for them, no pun intended when I say that, was the whole getting Kenyon Martin, who was a really solid player, was a far better player than he turned out being in the pros, though. A lot of it was because of injury issues. And I really think if Kenyon Martin had not gotten hurt in college, I think he would have been an even better player for the Nets than he actually ended up being. So it was stuff like that I think kind of really hurt the Nets from getting even better than they were. And then they brought in Jason Kidd in what ends up being one of the biggest trade steals of all time for Stephon Marbury.
Like, you look at it, like, people don't realize it with Kenyon Martin. The Nets look like geniuses for trading him when they did. He was a very, very important asset to that team. And I don't like when people say, you know, if they would have kept Kenyon Martin, and just imagine how he would have played with Vince Carter. If you didn't trade Kenyon Martin, you don't have Vince Carter. Because two of those draft picks you got from Kenyon Martin ended up going over to Toronto for Vince. The big thing was for Kenyon Martin, he had knee issues. And, you know, he recovered from the knee issues. And the last couple seasons when he played in Denver and he played with the Clippers last season, he was a key contributor. He played great for the Clippers last year. Defensively, he was their anchor. He didn't score a lot of points, but Kenyon Martin was never a guy who was going to score 25 points a game. There was points during his rookie season. Well, you know, when we interviewed him, he said playing with Stephon Marbury made him realize that he had to start creating his own offense. You pass the ball to Steph and you're not getting it back.
I will say this, though. I've always felt, and that's great, by the way. I always felt that Kenyon Martin could have been a 25-point player a game if he had not gotten hurt in college. I think him breaking his leg in college really was not obvious hindrance, but I think it did bring his game down some. And we all know he was a high flyer anyway, and he, you know, that wasn't necessarily the issue. I just think that time loss hurt him, and I think it hindered his progression in the NBA. I actually think Kenyon Martin would have been a dominant force if he was completely healthy. But once you get one injury like that, they all snowball.
I agree. I agree with you 110%. And I just think with Kenyon, Jason Kidd, I didn't blame Jason. I think you and I had this conversation when Jason Kidd got traded.
I've always blamed Jason for that.
Jason Kidd, you can't blame him for wanting to get to move on, because he saw at that time that the team was trying to go in a different direction. The team had success. You know, you went to those playoff games with me his final year with the Nets against Toronto and against Cleveland. You saw how well he was still able to play. But the team, you know, when the team was having success, you know, the team was having success with guys like Mikey Moore, Kidd got these guys paid. And then they walked away, you know, because the Nets at that time just didn't want to pay their guys. Jason was tired of developing guys and having them walk away. And it was going on for years. And you were stuck in a tough situation because you had a new you had an owner in Ratner who didn't want to pay guys, which made things much more difficult. So when you have an owner who doesn't want to pay people, I think if they would have kept Devin Harris and had Richard Jefferson and Vince Carter on the wings, I would love to see what that team would have looked like. But they decided to move Richard Jefferson. I think that was one of Rod Thorne's few moves that was a real big blunder, bringing Yijon Leon and Bobby Simmons in for Richard Jefferson. I think you and I definitely can agree on that.
I think the move was bad, but Richard Jefferson is not someone that should have held up any deal. I do agree that the move that they made in that aspect was bad, but, you know, look, it's not like Richard Jefferson has ever come back. You're not a Net fan saying, oh, my God, I can't believe we let Richard Jefferson go.
Yeah, no, no. And in fact, it was funny you say that, too. This past June when I went to the draft combine at the Nets practice facility, I was talking to Mitch Kaufman, who's the video guru for the Nets. And at the last home game, they had different they got video from different Nets players giving messages to the fans at on the home game. And I said, how come there was nothing from Richard? You know, they had one from Kenyon Martin, they had one from Jason Kidd, Brian Scalabrine, Lawrence Frank, Buck Williams, guys who weren't able to be there in person. You know, they weren't, like I just said, for Kidd. And I said, how come there's not one from Jefferson? They said they wanted to get ones from players that the fans would enjoy seeing. And I said, okay, but why not Richard? And he repeated it to me. They wanted to get guys who they know the fans would appreciate seeing. So apparently the fans of the Nets were not huge Richard Jefferson fans. And I think if you would have plastic Keith Van Horn's face up there, it would have gotten a mixed reaction as well. So, you know,
it's so funny. Keith Van Horn, such a talented guy. I mean, the kind of guy you want. And I guess what, soft? Was he just soft?
You know, Herb Turetsky, who's the official scorekeeper for the Nets, I just read an interview he did. And remember, he's been in every Nets home game for the last 30 years. And he knows a lot more than a lot of other people now. And he said Stephon Marbury ruined the career of Keith Van Horn.
You know what's funny about that? When they were with the Knicks, they looked so great together.
But yeah, but
then they traded them.
If you read Telfair, Sebastian Telfair's book, he said
I'm aware of it. I've never read it though.
Oh, you should definitely take a read on it. There was one passage where he's Marbury's cousin. He said Marbury called him up. What? I'm sorry.
No, I'm aware. I'm actually. Like I said, I knew the Marbury family quite well, so no, believe me, I do know.
He said that Marbury had called him and basically said he'd just gotten Van Horn out of New York because he couldn't stand it. Listen, Van Horn, when he played with that squad of Sam Cassell, Chris Gatling, that 98 team, Van Horn was a rising star. Van Horn never was the same playing with Stephon Marbury. And when I said when Kidd got traded to New Jersey, Van Horn was going to be the guy who was going to benefit the most from it. And Van Horn had a very good season. Hit some big shots in that Indiana game 5 before fouling out, and hit some big shots against the Boston Celtics in game 6. He just didn't show up there in the finals. None of the Nets showed up in the finals that year against the Lakers, which is sort of funny because what they needed the following year against the Spurs was guys who can stretch the defense out, and they needed shooters. And they didn't need that against the Lakers. They needed it against the Spurs. So it's sort of funny how the two teams were sort of opposite in that situation. But
First Net team, I think, was just happy to be there. That second Net team, I think, gave it their all, but, you know, just wasn't good enough to beat the Spurs.
I agree with you 110%. I think if that team showed up and like playing like they did in the first three rounds of the playoffs, the Lakers still would have won that series. I think it could have gone 6 games.
I'll tell you something, and you know what? I'm going to say this, and you'll probably agree with me on this, and everyone else would think we're haters. Let's be honest, though. For everything we say about the Spurs and how great they are and everything they've done, every title they've won has been against teams that were just happy to be there.
Okay, the Knicks,
think about
99.
It. Think about the 3 titles they won.
In 99, the Knicks. I think the Knicks were pretty happy to be there back in 99.
They beat that Net team, which that team was a little bit more prepared, but I still think, you know, probably a little bit more happy to be there.
The Nets 2003 team, in the second year they went to the finals, I thought it was bad coaching that cost the Nets the championship that year.
And then they beat Cleveland, and that, you know, that team was happy to be there.
Oh, yeah, pretty well. Yeah, well, no. See, the thing was, though, they beat Detroit in seven. Detroit wasn't happy to be there. Detroit, that was Detroit going for their second championship. And trust me, Detroit and them battled. That wasn't a happy to be there team.
All right, that one wasn't. But the other three, you could definitely make the case.
Well, yeah, and especially if you look at the NBA Finals from the last close to 10 years, we've only had two series that's gone seven games in the NBA Finals. That's it.
Yeah, there's not. Well, remember, well, the West has been somewhat dominant for a while as far as, like, overall conference. Obviously, they haven't won every final, but, yeah, the series haven't been that good. You're right. You're absolutely right. By the way, the Knicks won 104-94 to go 4-0 for the first time since 93-94.
We're going to transition in about 1 minute over to pick six. But before we do, I just want to go real quick. Look at the NBA champions between since Jordan retired to now. You had 99, you had the Spurs. 2000, you had the Lakers. 2001, you had the Lakers. 2002, you had the Lakers. 2003, the Spurs. 2004, the Pistons. 2005, you had the Spurs again. In 2006, you had the Miami Heat. In 2007, you had the San Antonio Spurs again. In 2008, you had the Boston Celtics. In 2009 and 2010, you had the Los Angeles Lakers. In 2011, you had the Dallas Mavericks. In 2012, you had the Miami Heat. So
a lot of multiple winners there. A lot of multiple winners.
Yeah, a lot of multiple winners. And if you look at the losing teams, obviously that stretch has changed around. Now, if you really look at it, the Mavericks won in 11 and lost in 2006. So yeah, you have two appearances. The Miami Heat played, you know, the Mavericks twice, so you already have two appearances there. So in the last 10 years, the Miami Heat has made three NBA Finals appearances in 2-1. The Lakers, since 2000, in the last 12 years, have been to the Finals. My Lord, you know, they've been the most. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's really like a sort of a crazy. It's a crazy situation there with the NBA Finals. Anyway, with that being said, let's change it up, shall we?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's do a little just for you. So, Jose, we are now into week 10. We are now in week 10 of the NFL season.
Anything shocked you so far?
Anything shocking so far? Well,
anything. Any, I have a couple of things.
Okay, well, we're in week 10 of the season. And I'm talking about our pick six. I'm not worried about the rest of the league. The rest of the league can go to hell. I'm worried about our pick six here because I have, you know, a dinner on the line here. Come on.
Randy's shocked that he's got a six-game lead on me. That's what he's shocked about.
I think you and I are big enough to admit this and understand and know this, and I think we can let the public in. We know who's winning week by week, but we lost track of where our records are. So
yeah.
It could be more than six games. It could be less than six games. I think it's
I think we're like 99% certain it is you have a six game lead on me. We just don't know the record.
Yeah. So we have six game lead. And looking at the games this week, it's funny, I'm on Sunday real sports talk will be on this Sunday at 7:00. Myself and Sarah Gordon will be hosting. Jose's got another vacation day. I don't know how he negotiated his contract. On how many he has more vacation days than he's on during the year. So
it's in lieu of money.
Or lack of So this week, Cleveland, Green Bay, Arizona, Washington get to sit back, have pizza, and watch the game and eat wings. Meanwhile, just run through all the games real quick. For those who didn't get to see the game last night, Indy over Jacksonville, 27-10. Andrew Luck, 227 yards passing. He's developing into a good player, man. I'm telling you. He's going to have some growing pains, but, man.
They're growing pains with a 6-3 mark. So, I mean, you'll take those growing pains any day of the week.
Yeah, I can't wait till he gets into his prime. They'll be 15-1 every season. 1 o'clock games, New York, the Giants, Cincinnati, Tennessee at Miami, Detroit at Minnesota, Buffalo at New England, Atlanta at New Orleans, San Diego at Tampa Bay, Denver at Carolina, Oakland at Baltimore, 4 o'clock games, Jets at Seattle, Dallas at Philly, and St. Louis at San Francisco, the Sunday night game, Houston at Chicago, and Kansas City at Pittsburgh on Monday night.
Cannot come quick enough for the NFL.
Yes. Next week, well, real quick look at next week's games. Thursday night, Miami, Buffalo, Arizona, Atlanta, Cleveland at Dallas, Green Bay at Detroit, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Philadelphia at Washington, Tampa at Carolina, Jacksonville at Houston, the Jets at St. Louis, New Orleans at Oakland, San Diego at Denver, Indianapolis, New England, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and the Monday night game is at Chicago at San Francisco. I'll tell you something. Next week's games, the 1 o'clock games, look awful. Everything from 4 o'clock on looks great. 1 o'clock, I'm going to make sure that I have, like, especially since the Giants are off, because Tennessee and Minnesota, the Giants and Seattle are all off. So 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock next Sunday, I can do whatever I want and not feel bad about missing football at 1 o'clock because those games look awful.
You know what? Even if they're awful, I still want to watch them.
Oh, my God. Man, like, I'm so excited. And the funny thing is, I planned this week at 1 o'clock, and I can't get to watch all the games. But so here's what we have. We have about 8 minutes left here. I think the three that we agreed on was Atlanta and New Orleans.
Yes, that was one.
Houston and Chicago.
Yep.
That's number two. And I believe...
I remember it. Do you? Do you remember it or no?
Listen, I don't remember how I got here, buddy.
It's. I can tell
Houston
you want.
Chicago. Okay.
It's San Diego
Chicago.
At Tampa Bay.
Yeah, San Diego at Tampa Bay. I knew that. I was quizzing you to make sure you remembered. By the way, if you're if you're in the Tampa Bay area, it's the only game this week that has over 2,000 tickets available. So.
Yes. Well, it's the second game. Second game with over 2,000 tickets.
There's only one game with 2,000 tickets available.
No, the Giants-Cincinnati game has over 2,000 tickets available.
There's only 955 available. Now listen, I'm looking at it, okay? You can't tell
me. Oh, you're looking at it right now? Okay, so that must have updated.
Yeah.
That means people
are
actually buying tickets.
you can't tell me what I'm seeing. Who are you?
Well, I got paper in front of me.
Okay, fine. Listen,
obviously, the paper has lied to me.
Yes. Listen, I know what I'm seeing, man. Okay, who are you? Don't you judge me? Wait,
I'm not judging you. I'm just saying your computer's wrong. Anyway, we should make these picks.
Yeah, seriously, we are really running out of time here, and like this is starting to get to a comical nightmare.
And just so you know, people, Randy didn't even want to do a whole hour show.
I personally like to do longer. I just think me rambling on like a raving lunatic and being an idiot suits me well. With that being said, let's start this. Let's go with Chicago and Houston first. If there's ever a hard game, like I don't know why we chose this game.
Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pick the hard games.
Listen,
we're gangsters, son. We're gangster.
Okay, first off, I'm short, white, and Jewish. You're from Maryland. You really can't live the word gangster with that. Okay?
Well, I'm gangster.
Well, you're Puerto Rican. Never mind.
Exactly.
And here comes the hate mail. Anyway, Houston and Chicago. I know why we do this. Let's move on, please. Let's move on. I'm already going to hell. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, let's do it.
Houston and Chicago. The Texans have been playing, well, but I think their strength of schedule has been in question. You can say the same thing about the Bears, but I think in this is the type of game you have to go with the home team. I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears.
I'm in agreement with you. I would say this. I actually think the NFC is stronger this year than the AFC. I think the numbers point, you know, bear that out. I do also like the fact that Chicago is the home team. I'm not sold on Houston yet because the one big game they had was against Green Bay, not at the time good Green Bay, and they got housed. So I'm also gonna go with Chicago. I just think I think Jay Cutler will be up for the game. I'm not sold yet on Schaub. I think Cutler will be good for the game though.
Okay, we have to move a little quicker here. All right, San Diego at Tampa Bay. San Diego usually plays very well at home. Tampa Bay has been playing a lot better of late. They had a slow start this season. The defense is picking up. Josh Freeman is playing a lot better. I think I have to go with the Buccaneers on this one. But Phillip Rivers is still an elite quarterback. He just seems to be struggling and can't get out of his own way. I'm going with Tampa. And by the way, there are still 2,587 seats available for that game.
I, too, am actually going to go with Tampa. I'm loving Doug Martin. I was a big fan of his when he was in college. I loved how he's transitioned to the pro game. I like Josh Freeman. I'm no longer on this Phillip Rivers bandwagon, so I'm also going with Tampa Bay on that one as well.
Atlanta and New Orleans, there's something about this game that I don't like for Atlanta, especially being in New Orleans. Drew Brees plays well there, and it's just one of those things. I have to go with the horse that I've been riding on with these Falcons. I'm just, because they're undefeated, I think I just have to sort of ride this out a little bit. You know, the Saints have been playing better. It seems like they're pulling this together. They're going to make a late run. They said they're taking the one game at a time attitude. If I had to pick right now, man, which I guess I have to, I'm going to pick the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, I hate both teams, quite honestly. I hate New Orleans more. But I'm going to take New Orleans. I do. But I'm going to take New Orleans because I think they're going to start going on a roll. I'm hoping Atlanta does win this game, though, because I don't want New Orleans to go on a run. But I'm going to go with New Orleans in this game. If they don't beat Atlanta this game, though, look for the Giants to be the first team to beat Atlanta. I'm just a hunch, but I'll take New Orleans. And
all right, now we have to go back and forth. We got 3 minutes left. Am I going first or are you going first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. I'm starting you off with Detroit at Minnesota.
All right. I like Detroit. I think they're starting to really get on the roll. I'm going to take Detroit.
All right, let's go. What do you got for me?
I'm going to give you New York at Cincinnati.
Especially when Tom Coughlin goes out and calls his defense soft, I feel very bad for the Cincinnati Bengals. The key is going to be offensively whether Hakeem Nicks can really get up and down the field or not. Cincinnati's been struggling this year. They're still a young team. They're still growing. I'm going to take the New York Football Giants.
Nice. What you got for me?
You have to suffer the wrath of Buffalo at New England.
Wow. Let me think about that. New England, because Buffalo never wins at Gillette.
Okay.
I'm going to keep you local this week. This should be a cakewalk for you, though. Jets at Seattle.
For the simple fact that the Jets can't get it together when there's no sound on the field. You're putting them in the loudest stadium in the NFL. I'm sticking with Seattle. You have to choose between Dallas and Philadelphia, my friend.
I knew that was coming. You know, they both stink. I have no idea. You know what? I'm going to take Dallas because I just think they're less messed up than Philadelphia.
Okay.
And for you, last game, Tennessee at Miami.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins. They're still playing very well. Tennessee looked like a bag last week. You got it. Tannehill's playing very well. I'm going to go with Miami. It's simple.
Chris Johnson's playing well, though, so you got to watch out for him.
Yeah, I know, but Miami's defense plays very, very well, especially at Sun Life Stadium. Not too worried about that one. I think you were hoping to give me that Dallas-Philly game.
You know, I, too, but once you gave me the New England Buffalo game, I knew I wasn't gonna have a chance to give that one to you. I would have felt bad giving it to you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we miss you on Sunday. Sarah and I will go over all this, and she'll either make fun of me because I'll go 3-3, 2-1, or something like that. I don't know. She'll fill in. She'll do the best she can to keep your seat warm, and we will see you next week, my friend.
Yeah, that's big shoes to fill, though, to keep my seat warm.
What are you, 5'3"? That's not big shoes. Anyway, moving forward.
Big butt.
Anyway.
Big butt.
I will see you next week, my friend.
Take care, man. Take it deep, guys.
All right.